Begin the current daf and sef, despeya daf gimel. The Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. The Gemara began the mesachta mesaf despeya, and the first halacha that I spoke about was beish and elder yamtib, regarding an egg that was laid on yamtib. Then we had a machlekes besham beshil, and the beshil held that the egg is going to be asr. The Gemara wondered, why would the egg be asr? So the Gemara had three interpretations, and the Gemara will currently bring the fourth interpretation. What's the reason why it would be asr? The first three, Rav Nachman said, is because the tumah tarnagel is a type of hen that was oimed legadol beitzim, that it wasn't meant for eating, hence the actual hen is muktzah because it wasn't planned on being used for any yamtiv purposes because it's only there to lay eggs. Hence, the egg that comes out of it is also going to be asr. That was Rav Nachman's interpretation. Rabba held the reason is because what's called hachana de rabba, because we're talking about that yamtiv is on Sunday and therefore the egg that was already completed that was laid on the day of yamtiv on Sunday means the day before was completed, which was on Shabbos. And Shabbos cannot complete something for yamtiv, therefore it's going to be asr. Rav Yosef said that it's because of peiros hanation. That is, there's a stark similarity between the case of the egg that's born on Yom Tov and peiros hanation, the fruits that fall off from the tree on Yom Tov, which both are asr because you might come to then pull off from the tree the fruits. So we always said any fruit that falls off, it's going to be asr. Hence, the egg was included in that it's also on some level a pre-hanasher. It's some type of produce, something, a derivative that's coming out from the source. And therefore, that was included in that gezerah of all peiros hanation. Now the Gemara comes to the fourth interpretation. Why is a Beis Shanol the Aser according to Bissel? Bissel Kamer, he says it's a Gzeira Mishum Mashkin Shazavu. It's a Gzeira, again similar to Rabbi Yosef's interpretation, that it was a Gzeira, that is, we make a Gzeira on liquids, juices that are flowing out of the fruit itself, which the halach is, as the Gemara will quote shortly, this Sugya, regarding if that day when, if let's say there's someone has fruits, which the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos says, that if they come out by themselves, it's going to be Aser. And it's going to be Aser for the entire day of Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, similarly, regarding an egg, that it has also similar to the case of Mashkin Shazavu, because you have something that's a derivative, just like juice is a derivative from the fruit. Here also, the egg is a derivative from the hen, and it's also flowing out. So it was something that was absorbed, just like the juice was absorbed in the pre, now it's coming out, that's Aser. Including that was this Iser of the egg that's coming out from the hen. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, similar as Abaye had asked on Rav Yosef's interpretation, I'm like, Abaye said to Rav Yitzchok, Mashkin Shezavu Tamamai. What's the whole reason of why we said that when the liquids come out of a fruit on Shabbos or Yom Tov, that's going to be Aser? What's wrong? You didn't do anything wrong. Is because Gzera Shemi Yisroid, that itself is a Gzera that because you might come to squeeze. If you let you have the juices that came out by itself, you might say, hey, those juices taste good. Let me squeeze it a little bit more. Now, that would be a problem of what's called schita, of squeezing out the fruit, which is a malocha de raisa, which is a teilada. It's a derivative of the amalocha of dosh, which is threshing, because they're both the same action in the sense that you're releasing, you're taking out something from what it was contained in, where in the case of juices, it's that you're taking it out from the peel that it was in, which is similar to what's called mefarik, which is the malach of dash, that you're unloading the grain that's inside the husk. So both of them are the same idea of unloading, which is what threshing is. Therefore, schita is aser on Shabbos. So if we let you have the juices, you might come to do schita. So we said that, you know what? You can't enjoy any juices that are squeezed, that are, even if they come out by themselves, on Shabbos. So now the Gemara's Abaye's question is, so he goof for Gzeira, the whole Isra of Mashkin Shazavu is only rabbinic. Now we're going to make a decree based on the decree, and that is because Abaye assumed, similar how he had asked on Rabbi Yosef, that it sounds like that this egg that's coming out from the hen, we say that that's forbidden because then one might come to enjoy the same thing by fruits that come out by themselves, which then one might come to do schita on Shabbos or Yom Tov. But that would be a gzeira l'gzeira because the whole case of Mashkin Shazavu itself is rabbinic. Then to say that you shouldn't enjoy the egg that came out by itself because then you might come to have the fruit, the juice that came out by itself, but that would be gzeira l'gzeira and we don't do that. So that the Gemara answers, as it had answered for Rav Yosef, kula chad gzeira. It's all one gzeira, which is that when they made a gzeira mashkin shazavu, they made this all-encompassing halacha that if juices come out by themselves, you can't have it because then you might come to squeeze it. Included in that is all things that are derivatives that flow out by themselves, which an egg is included. although there's no such halacha of squeezing out a hen to get the egg that's going to come out of it, the actual gzeirah doesn't apply. However, the gzeirah included anything within this category, which is anything that flows out by itself from its source, which included an egg, and therefore it's really one gzeirah. So now the Gemara summarizes and concludes the discussion of all the four different opinions that was mentioned as interpretation for Beis Hillel, saying that a Be'ah Shenolda B'Yamtiv, an egg that was born on Yamtiv, is going to be Aser. As the Gemara says, Kulu, all the different interpretations, that of Rabba, who he said that the reason of Beis Hillel was because of Hachana, which is because Shabbos is Erev Yamtiv, or according to Rav Yosef and Rav Yitzchak, like we said, Rav Yosef says is because of the Gzeirah of Pri HaNoshir, or like Rav Yitzchak, as we just quoted, because of Mashkin Shazavu, where they both said that it was because of Gzeirah, we could understand Kerev Nachman Lo Yamri. The Gemara is going to contrast all the different reasons why each one said their own interpretation and didn't agree to the other interpretations. So we understand why the old didn't say like Rav Nachman, who was the first interpretation that was said, that it was told by the Tarna Goylis that so Oimed Legadal Legadal Beitzim, that the actual hen was not meant for consumption purposes, just to lay eggs. Now, therefore, that means the actual hen itself was Muktzah, so therefore he says, so the egg, which is Noilid, for sure is going to be Muktzah, it's coming from the Muktzah item. Now, the reason why I don't say like him is Kikushin, is like the Gemara had asked on the previous stuff, that although you could say that's a good interpretation of the Machlekes B'Hillel B'Shammai, but why would they talk about just the egg, if they could talk about also just as easily with the hen itself, which would be the same Machlekes if it's talking about the Halacha of Muktzah. So why say just the Be'ah Shenolda? It could have been the Tana Goylis, and it's Be'ah Shenolda is a Machlekes B'Shammai, Ubis and B'Hillel, as the Gemara had asked on Rav Nachman's interpretation. So that's why they all didn't say like Rav Nachman. Karabanam and Loyamri, they all also, the rest of the three from the fourth interpretation of Rabba, they didn't say like him, because Achana Leslo, they don't hold of this Mechudish Diga Halacha that he says, of that the Hachana, there has to be a preparation, and even things which are B'day Shemayim, like the completion of an egg, cannot be on Shabbos or Yom Tov. You have to verbalize it, has to be something that you did, and therefore the egg that's born on Sunday is problematic if it's Yom Tov, which they don't agree to this novel interpretation of this Issa of Hachana. So that takes care of why they wouldn't hold like Rav Nachman or like Rabba. But then the remaining two interpretations, the Rabbi Yosef, which was mentioned, the third interpretation on the previous daf, my time alam Rabbi Yitzchak, why doesn't he say like Rabbi Yitzchak that we just quoted before? That it's because an egg is really was included in the Gzer Jabon of Mashkin Shazavu. We have something that was absorbed and came out, it flowed out by itself, that we say anything that comes out from its source on Shabbos Yom Tov is going to be Aser. So Amalach Rabbi Yosef would tell you that Be'ah Ochla, an egg is a food item, it's a solid. Uperis Ochla, and fruits are also a food item. Now, therefore, we could say that those two would be similar to compare their halachas, which is what Rabbi Yosef does. He compares the halacha of the egg that comes out from the hen, similar to the halacha of the Peris HaNosher, where it falls off from the tree, which is Aser. Lafuke Mashkin de Lav Ochla. However, juices, they're not food items, they're just liquids. And therefore, the Chachamim would not include in the Gzer Drabanan of Mashkin Shazavu, which is liquids that juices that ooze out, to say that that would include an egg, because an egg is not a mashka. However, Rabbi Yosef did hold that it is comparative to the Peris HaNoshim, because this is like a pri, it's a food item just like a pri, and therefore that could be included in that gzera. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak, my time alone with Rabbi Yosef. So why didn't Rabbi Yitzchak say like Rabbi Yosef? It seems to be that an egg is similar to a fruit, which when it falls off from the tree, is coming off from its source, and it's aser, that should include the egg too. So Amalachi would tell you that no. Actually, the egg is similar to what he was saying, that when the juices come out of the peel. Because Be'ah Blua, an egg is absorbed inside the hen. Then it, so to speak, like flows out. Umashkin Bluin, same thing is that the juices are absorbed inside their peel, and it also flows out. That's why he compares the two of them and says that's included in the Gzer Dabon of Mashkin Shazavu. Lafuki Peris de Miglu V'Kaimer. But that's excluding regarding when you have fruits, which when that halacha Peris HaNoshim, that's Aser, that's very different than the egg, because that's open and revealed. And therefore, the falling off of the egg cannot be included in the Nashiras, the falling off of the pre, because they're very different. One's absorbed in something else, and one is out in the open. It just falls off, and therefore he rather compares it to Mashkin Shazavu and not to Peiros HaNoshim, to the fruits that fall off from the tree. So that explains why we needed the four different interpretations. They each don't agree to the other one's opinions. Now the Gemara says, "V'af Rabbi Yechonon Savan." Even Rabbi Yechonon holds like Rabbi Yitzchak's interpretation of Gezeru Mishmashkin Shazavu, that the reason for the Isra of a Be'ah Shenolda B'Yom Tov according to Beis Hillel was based in because it's included in the category of the Gzeir Drabana of Mashkin Shazabu. That since we said that anything that oozes out by itself, we're concerned you might come to do that and do the srita itself, which although that's not really applicable to the egg, but it was included in the rubric of the actual Gzeira of it's something that's coming out from where it was absorbed, from its source, and therefore that's the reason why it'd be usr. How do we see this? Because Rabbi Yechonon Rami, Rabbi Yehuda Umishani. We find Rabbi Yechonon poses a contradiction in the opinions of Rabbi Yehuda, and he answers. Now, based on that stira that the Gemara will explain now, we see that he compares the halacha of the Be'ez Shenolda to the halacha of Mashkin Shezavu. Because now we learn in the Mishnah as follows. It's the Mishnah Masech the Shabbos that says, Ein seichetenes aperis lohitzi men mashkin. Now let's squeeze out fruits to take out its juices, which that would be the iser deraisa of schita, a teloda of dash of threshing. Now, v'miyatsu me'atzman asurin. Now, even if it comes out by itself, you didn't do anything, it's still going to be asur that day of Shabbos or Yomtiv, because it's a gezerah that you might come to squeeze out. If we let you enjoy that, say, hey, this is good, you might come to do it, therefore we make a gezerah drabanan that you shouldn't enjoy it. Bihuda, I mean, Bihuda differentiate. He says, depends what type of fruit it was designated for, to say if the mashkin shazava will be us or not. And that is, im loichalen, if these fruits were here gathered, and let's say this bowl, that for eating purposes, then hayyitzim en mutter, actually then the juices that come out from it on the day of Shabbos will be permitted. And the reason is because you don't want the juices. You wanted it dear so people could enjoy it in eating it. And therefore, we're not going to make exeria if we let you drink up that juice, and then you might come to squeeze it out, because it wasn't there for juice purposes. It was there for consumption purposes. However, im lamashkin, if you had these fruits sitting here because you wanted to juice them, then hayitzim en asa, then what comes out from itself will be forbidden, because that was your intention. You want the juice from this. And if we let you enjoy that juice that flowed out on Shabbos, then you might come to squeeze it and be able to schid the deraisa. So that would depend what the purpose of these fruits were, if the mashkin that flow out by itself on Shabbos will be asa or not. So now Rabbi Yechonon says, Ha'amal, what you see is that from the fact that Yehuda said, and he differentiated, he says, im lo ichalon, if the food items were there designated for eating purposes, those fruits, so then what comes out of it, he said, is mutter. Then obviously you see that kol eichal Rabbi Yehuda, that all things that are designated, that are food items, which we're including even the juice of these fruit items, we're considering them as food items, so even what comes out of it is uchel d'ifrasu. Even what comes out of it, we won't view it as a mashkin, and hence included in the gzeir drabon of mashkin shezavu. Rather, we only consider it as part of just cutting off a slice of bread. It's no mashkin shazavu. It's not like you had something absorbed in something else and then it came out. It was a food item. And hence, it's like cutting off a piece of the fruit. That is no iser. Now, on that, the Rabbi Yechonon asked, Riminu, however, it seems to be a contradiction where Rabbi Yehuda says something somewhere else, which is, the Gemara is quoting a continuation of a Mishnah Masechtas Erevin, where there the Mishnah discusses regarding the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, where a person is afraid that they're going to make the month an extra day from the previous month, that of El, where then it's going to come out that they're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So then the halacha is that a person has to make two Erevin, because he wants to travel somewhere, he has to make Erev Truman, so he has to make two Erevin. Now, the reason is because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah are what's called two Kedushas. They have two different sanctifications. And really what it means is that one day is really weekday and one day is really Yom Tov. We just don't know which one's the weekday, which was Yom Tov, and therefore we end up making 2 days, but essentially they're two different Kedushas, not like one long Kedusha, as if it's you make one Erev, so then it's going to last for the 2 days. It's two different days. We don't know which one's weekday, which one's Yom Tov, so therefore you would have to make two different Erevin, because possibly today's Yom Tov, maybe tomorrow's Yom Tov. So therefore, it has these two different Kedushas. Now, that's what the Gemara continues quoting and saying, V'oidam, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah there says, and moreover, Rabbi Yehuda says, regarding this idea that we said, that the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not considered like one long day, rather they have two different Kedushas. And again, what we explained what that means is that because one day is going to be Yom Tov, and therefore the other day is going to be a weekday, hence you can't make something for one day and that it should be existing for the other day, let's say, in the Halachas of Erevin. Same thing applies to the following two Halachas. That is, masna odem al kakolo shel peres. A person can make a condition regarding a basket full of produce, of fruits, where they are tevel. They're untithed, the produce. Now, the person forgot to take off maisers from before Yom Tov. Now, there's a mission that tells us that ain magibin trumas and maisers by Yom Tov. A person is not allowed to take off trumas and maisers on Yom Tov. So what does the person do? it's the first day of Rosh Hashanah and he forgot to take off the Trumas and Maisers and he wants to eat it. So the halacha is that he takes off Maiser B'Yom Tev Rishon, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, with the Tanai, with a condition. And he says as follows. He says, if today is weekday, again, as we explained according to Yehuda, that there are two Kedushas in the sense that one day is really weekday, one day is really the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. So he says, if today's weekday and tomorrow is the Kedush, is the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, then now let these Trumas and Maisers that I'm doing now, let it function in the context of Trumas and Maisers and permit the other rest of the produce. Now, if today is Kedush, really it's Rosh Hashanah, so then what I'm saying is nothing because you're not allowed to go ahead and take off Trumas and Maisers on Yom Tov. And then he makes a sign which were these fruits that he had separated as Trumas and Maisers. Then the next day, the second day of Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, again he goes back and he says, look, if today is weekday because yesterday was really the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, so then now I'm going to take off Trumas and Maisers on the rest. Now, if today is really Rosh Hashanah and yesterday was weekday, so then that means what I did yesterday was worked and that it functioned. And therefore, today, either way, I'm going to be able to eat the produce on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, v'achle b'sheni. So he could eat on the second day, but he cannot eat the produce on the first day because maybe that's the first day of Rosh Hashanah. And what he's saying is nothing because you can't take off Trumas and Maisers in Rosh Hashanah. That's one application of this halacha of Beis Kedushas. The chein beis, same thing applies to an egg, where they have these two kedushis, where one of the days is really weekday and one of the days is really Yom Tov, that if shanol de berishon, let's say there was an egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, so the halach is te'achal b'sheni, then you could eat it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Again, meman of shach, either way you look at it. If the first day was weekday, so then there was nothing wrong that it was born then, you could eat it on the second day, which is Yom Tov. If the first day was Yom Tov, so then you can't eat a beis shanol de b'yom Tov, but then the second day you could eat it because it's weekday. Now, however, the inference is as follows. This is where Rabbi Yechon is asking his question. It says, B'sheni in. It sounds like that the egg that was laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, you can eat on the second day. B'rishon loy, but you can't eat on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, what you see from there is that anything that flows from its place on Yom Tov, which essentially is what an egg is, it's flowing from its source inside the hen, then even if it's a uchla, even if it's a food item, which is what an egg and a hen are, still it's going to be aser. Now, that means that it is included in the Isser of Mashkin Shazav. And that contradicts what we quoted from Yehuda just before, from the Mishnah Masech de Shabbos, where he said that there is a heter of Mashkin Shazavu, that if it's lo icholin, if it's a food item, then we're not concerned about Mashkin Shazavu. Where it's only when it's lamashkin, then we say it's Mashkin Shazavu. Now, that is contradicted by what he says over here in Masech de Eirvin, where it is an oichlin, it's not even like designated just for eating purposes with a fruit and juice coming out of it, it's an actual hen, and it's an egg that's coming out, and yet still we say that it's going to be asr because of mashkin shazavu, so that contradicts. When it's a food item, is there mashkin shazavu or not? Now, on that, Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan, that's Rabbi Yochanan answered to resolve the contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda's opinions, mukhlefes hashita, that you have to switch the attribution of the opinions, and that is in that Mishnah, in Masech de Shabbos, that said that you're not allowed to, that you can't have the juices because you might come to squeeze it out, you have to switch the opinions with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, that it's the ones who said that lo icholin is mutter, is actually the Rabbanan. And Yehuda was the one that was machmer, he's the most stringent opinion, as we find over here, as our quotation of what he says in the Mishnah, in Masech Tzeirvin, that even a food item would be usher because of Mashkin Shazav. Now that was what Rabbi Yehuda had said in the resolution of Rabbi Yehuda's opinions. Now, but this is the conclusion of the Gemara's Raya that Rabbi Yehuda also held like Rabbi Yitzchak, from the fact that he poses Rabbi Yehuda the halacha of Mashkin Shazavu, which is what that case in the Mishnah Masech de Shabbos is talking about. It's actually talking about regular juices flowing to the case in the Mishnah Masech this Eirvin, which is talking about an egg. That he posed them a hadadi one on the other, shma minach hatayimahu. Obviously, that Rabbi Yochanan held that they're the same reason, and that the one who says that mashkin shazavu is aser will say that so too a beis shenold is going to be aser, and the one who says his mutter is going to be mutter, which essentially is like Rabbi Yitzchak because they're both absorbed in their sources, and hence he equated the two halachas, and that's why he posed them as a contradiction. That if beis, if regarding the halach of mashkin shazavu, Rabbi Yehuda says it wouldn't apply, so then it shouldn't apply to the case of beis shenold. Because it's the same halacha as Rabbi Yitzchak calls that the whole Isser of Beis Shenolda is based on Mashkin Shazavu. And that's Rabbi Yochanan to answer. It is a contradiction, but you actually have to switch around opinions, and that is Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's always Machmer and holds that even if it is a Eichla, even if it is a food item, it still will apply the halacha of Mashkin Shazavu, and therefore he would hold by the fruits, even if they were designated for eating purposes, they would be Asr. It was actually the Rabban who said that then we won't be guys of the Isser of Mashkin Shazavu. Now the Gemara continues on Talmud Beis. Once we introduced Rabbi Yechanan, because we wanted to show that he's like Rabbi Yitzchak in the interpretation of Bais Hillel's halacha, that a Beis Hanold is Asa B'Yamtiv. So then with that discussion came this contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda's opinions, which Rabbi Yechanan gave a resolution in saying that you switched opinions. Now the Gemara brings two different approaches how to resolve that contradiction. Avinam, he says that this Rabbi Yechanan has said that Mukhlefas Hashita, that you have to switch the attribution of the opinions. On that he says, Lo'il Noy Tepech, you don't have to switch them. However, Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah Masechtas Erevin, the Devrim Drabbana Kamavu, he was saying according to the opinions of the Rabbanan, as follows. He said, Lididi, according to my opinion, a filibration namisharya, even on the first day of Yom Tov, it would be permitted to uchla de ifrasu, as he said in that Mishnah Masechta Shabbos, because it's like cutting off a slice of bread. There's no schita over here. And therefore the reason why there's no schita is because there's no halacha regarding when it's a food item of the halacha of schita. So therefore there wouldn't be any mashkin shazabu. And again, because we're talking about a turn the gay list that's a medis lachila. There's no problem of muktzah, there's no problem of anything. So he says, according to me, you're right. I would say that it's mutter even on the first day. But what he was saying was, even according to you, that you say that it's asr even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So although that, as there is the same argument Rabbi Yehuda has in the Mishnah, in Masechta Shabbos, that you'll say that even by an egg, there would be a gezeir of mashkin shazavu, even though it's an eichel, even if it's a tarn legoilis, it's a medis lachila. But ideally, mihas to b'shein nisharya. But what Rehuda was saying was, fine, but at least admit to me that it should be permitted on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the Shnei Kedusha saying, for a totally different reason. Because even if you say that there's an Isser, but there's two different Kedushas, and that is one of them is going to be a weekday. So Meman of Shach, either way you look at it, the second day should be permitted. Because this, when it was laid on the first day, fine, you want to say that is Mashkin Shazavu, which I disagree on, as we saw in that Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. Yehuda holds that if it's an oichel of food and a salad, there's no halach of Mashkin Shazavu whatsoever, as he said, le'im lo eicholim. Now, but you disagree, and you hold that even if it is for consumption purposes, that then the liquids that come out would be included Mashkin Shazavu, so you hold it would apply to Eichen, and if you say the same thing regarding an egg, that the Mashkin Shazavu applies, but say that only on that day, not on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because either way, one of them was weekday. And that Vamli Rabban, that's what Rabban said to him in the Mishnah Masechta Seva, then Loi, no, Kedusha Achasi, actually the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah are not like other Yom Tovim. And that is because it's not out of doubt that we made 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and then to say that, look, either way, one day is weekday, one day is Yom Tov, it's not true. Could even in terms of Beis Din, they would make 2 days Rosh Hashanah if Edim, witnesses, who that's how they would be Mekadosh to Chodesh, that's how they would say it's Rosh Chodesh, if witnesses would come and say we saw the new moon, if they came from the time of Mincha and later on, as the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, they would anyways make 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. So we see that it's not because of that there's a doubt, when we weren't sure, and that's why they're really two different Kedushas, one the weekday, one's Yom Tov. It's not true. We actually made 2 full-fledged days of Rosh Hashanah. It's like one long Kedusha. It's like one long day, and therefore, even if it's born today, it's going to be Asa tomorrow, because it's like one day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, the third interpretation the Gemara brings to resolve the contradiction of Rabbi Yehuda's opinions, Ravina Barida of Ula Amar, he says that the question doesn't even begin in the first place. And the reason is because Hacha, over here in the Mishnah Masechtas Erevin, where we were making this diuk and saying that, oh, it sounds like that the egg that was laid on the first day Rosh Hashanah is only mutter on the second day, not on the first day. And then we said, wait a second, why is that usr? Obviously because it's considered a mashkin shazavu, and therefore we see that Rabbi Yehuda holds the mashkin shazavu would be a problem even by a food item, which is contradicts what he says in Masechtas Shabbos. And then he says, no. Over here it's Toma Bertan, the Geilus HaMedes Legadol Beitzim. We're talking about a hen that was designated just to lay eggs, not for consumption, and therefore the hen is muktzah, and therefore the egg that comes out of it is coming from a muktzah item, and that's why it's aser, not because of mashkin shazavu, which would say on even a regular fruit, the juice that comes out is permitted, is prohibited, because actually Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei de islei muktzah. We know that there's a machlekes throughout Shas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon regarding if we say yesh muktzah or there's no muktzah, which means say how broad is the application. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that holds that there is muktzah, hence he would hold that a hen that's not meant to eat, just to lay eggs, so therefore there has no utility on Yom Tov, so it's muktzah. The egg that would come out of it would also be muktzah, and that's why he says it's aser in the Mishnah Masechtas Erevin, not because of mashkin shazavu. Because actually, based on the protocol of mashkin shazavu, it would not be aser, because since it's a food item, he holds that doesn't apply. It's only when it's lamashka that we say mashkin shazavu, it's aser, but not by a cholim. Now the Gemara returns back to all the different interpretations in the opinion of Beis Hillel in the beginning of our Masechta, where Beis Hillel said that Be'ez Shanol is Aser, as recorded in the beginning of this daf, there were four reasons given why this would be this Issa of Be'ez Shanol. So that the Gemara asked Meisvei, we learned the Braisa on asking on these different opinions. And that is, the Braisa says, Echad Be'ez Shanol b'Shabbos, whether it's an egg that was laid on Shabbos, Echad Be'ez Shanol b'Yomtiv, whether it's an egg that was born on Yomtiv, Eimetal Noisa, you're not allowed to move it, that egg is prohibited to move. You can't use it to cover a vessel, let's say the opening of a bottle, you can't use it to plug it up. You can't use the egg to support the post of a bed, where you put it there by the edge where it can lean on it. But you could cover it with a vessel, that the egg shouldn't break, meaning you could pick up a vessel and cover it. Now, although you cannot move the egg itself, as we just said, you could move a vessel for its purpose. And what the Gemara is coming to say is to exclude from the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchok, that he says in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, that he says that a vessel cannot be moved for something itself that cannot be moved. Where Rashi says, how Rabbi Yitzchok would interpret this brisa, he would say that actually he's talking about when you had already picked up the vessel, what's called Tzarech L'Mekayma, where you needed its place. Now, once you picked it up, although you can't move the vessel for any other purpose, once you're moving it, you could already put it down wherever you want to, then you could put it down to cover the egg. But you're right, he would hold that, the Tana, the Braisa would agree that you can't pick it up just to cover the egg. Now the Braisa continues and says, the Sveika, and the doubt of this egg, Asur is going to be prohibited, it's forbidden. Now the Gemara originally assumes that what it means that the Suffolk of the egg is that if there's a doubt, which it seems like that's the halacha that the Braisa is talking about, regarding the Isser of it being born on Yom Tov or Shabbos, where if we're not sure if it was born, when it was it laid on Yom Tov or during the weekday, it's still going to be Asur on Yom Tov. And the Braisa concludes, V'imnis arva be'elef kul nasuris. Now, and if this egg that's prohibited gets mixed with all these, with even 1,000 other eggs, they're all going to be forbidden. Now, that's where the Gemara asks on all the different opinions. Bishlem l'rabba dam b'shem hachana. We can understand Rabbah, who he interpreted Beis Hillel, which is this halacha of Be'ez Shanol on Yom Tov being Aser, because of this halacha of Hachana, which is, we told Ma that because the case of Sunday, which we said therefore every day Yom Tov is, because if Yom Tov is on Sunday, that means the day before Shabbos, and that means the egg was complete on Shabbos, which means that's what was preparing it from Shabbos to Yom Tov, and you can't have that, as he brings from Sukkim, that you have to prepare for Yom Tov from the weekday, which is by Yom HaShishi. So we could understand why a suffix in this halacha would be asr, because have a seikah deraisa. He learns it out from Pesukim, this isra of hachana. So this is a doubt of a isra deraisa, v'chol seikah deraisa l'chum. We know that whenever it comes to doubts in biblical halachas, that we go stringently, and therefore we'll say it's going to be asr. But ela Rav Yosef, l'Rav Yitzchok, but to the other two interpretations, because Rav Nachman, we said that we refuted his opinion in the sense of the question that we had. So the Gemara is only discussing these opinions. The Kohen of Yisrael and Yitzchak, however, the Amri Mishum Gizera, they said the reason for this Isra of Be'ez Shanol on Yom Tov is because it's a Gizera Drabbanan, which is because it's either included in the category of Mashkin Shazavu, because it's flowing out from its source, or because it's considered like Pri HaNeishur, like the fruits that fell off from its source, either one that it's included in, but that's only Gizera Drabbanan, because you might come to then do the Isra Deiraisa. But Sveika Drabbanan, he so ultimately, even if this would be definite that it was born on Yom Tov, the most it would be is Aser because of a Gezeira. Now, therefore, when there's a doubt regarding this Iser, it's a suffix in something that's rabbinic Iser. Now, we know, whenever you have a doubt in the rabbinic law, we go leniently and we say that it's permitted. And therefore, the question is, why, according to their interpretation, would the Tana of this Braisa say that when there's a suffix, it's going to be Aser, but it's a suffix Drabbana? So that the Gemara answers that, according to these opinions of Yosef and Yitzchak, they would say that Seifik Asa and Lesafik Trefa, the Seifa, which is talking about this halacha of a Safik in the egg that's going to be Aser, is actually talking about a different Safik at all. It's talking about a doubt if it was born from a non-kosher animal. If it was an animal that was a Trefa, nothing to do with the halacha of Yom Tov. It's just that once we were talking about prohibited eggs, we also spoke about such a case, and we said that similar, if you have a Safik, if it was laid from a trefa chicken, which would make it non-kosher, or from a kosher one, then we're going to say that suffix is going to be aser, because that is a biblical halacha. Now, however, the Gemara asked on that, hi-hachi eim ha-sefer, then look at the next line of the Braisa, the last words, where it says that, nisarva be'elef kul nasuris. Now, if it gets mixed with even 1,000 other eggs, they're all forbidden. Now, If you learn like the way Rabbi would interpret it, that the suffix that the Bryce was talking about that's going to be Asr, is because we're not sure if it's one on Yom Tov or on the weekday. So have a davashish lamatirin. We could understand why if it mixes with 1,000 other eggs, it's going to be Asr. Because an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, if that's the Isser, as Rabbi would say, that it's going on the case of what the beginning of the Bryce was talking about, that's something that has permitted ways of consumption because you could eat after Yom Tov, totally permitted. It's just on Yom Tov itself that you can't eat it because of the case of Hachana the Rabbah. But afterwards, you'd be able to eat it. And therefore, the Chaldavish Yesh Lamatirin, there's halacha regarding the halachas of Bittel, that anything that has permitted ways or in time that it'll be permitted, then we don't utilize, we don't allow the halacha of Bittel, of nullification, even if there's 1,000 pieces nullifying it. Which is because although biblically, actually, the halacha of Bittel would work even just with a 2-to-1 ratio. As the Pasuk says in Shemais, Acheri Ram Lahatis, you always go after the majority. However, the Rabbanah was stringent. And that since it's going to be permitted after time, then we don't let you eat it in a prohibited state, even though there's the function of Bittel. So we would understand that according to Rabbah. Eli'i Amrit Safik Treifa, but if you're changing the case of the end of the Braisa, it's nothing to do with the Safik of Beish and Elda B'yamdiv. It's actually talking about a Safik of Treifa. That we just, once we were talking about prohibited eggs, we spoke about that. If you're not sure if it's from a kosher, if it's going to be kosher or not, then it's going to be Asr. But Dava She'in Loi Matirin He, an egg that maybe it's Treif, is something that has no permitted ways of consuming it. Like an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, after Yom Tov, it's already permitted. But here, it would not have matirin. And therefore, the question is, v'ti batal b'ruba, so why isn't it batal b'rayv? Why do we say if it's mixed in even 1,000 eggs, it's going to be prohibited? Why? Why would it still be forbidden? Now, the Gemara forewarns in saying, because there are other cases where the Rabbanu Amachmer said that the bittel, we won't utilize that function. Because v'chitem e'becha shuv v'le batal. And if you're going to say, because there's another protocol that we use when we won't use nullification, which is if it's considered something that's chashav, it's distinct, then we say that even if there's a majority, even 1,000 pieces, it's not going to be batel, and therefore an egg that's something that's a distinct, unique, singular item, it won't become batel in even 1,000 eggs, and therefore you could even say it's talking about the case of Bei Treifa, but hanich leman da'ama, that would only be well according to the opinion which the Gemara is going to quote later, that says, kol shadarki limon shaninu. That this is in regards to a mission in Arla, which the Gemara is going to quote later, that anything that there are people, which is the important key over here, that as long as there are people that are particular about this thing because they consider it chashim, where they only sell it by numbers, which means say each one is unique, we're going to count how many we're selling, then we're going to say that it's not going to be batel. So an egg, there are many people that also sell it by units, by how many eggs there are. And therefore, that would be a good answer to resolve Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef in saying that, yes, the reason why Beit Treifa, which we said it's Safik is Asr, and so too when it gets mixed with 1,000 eggs, it's not going to be batel, because it's considered something chashav. And the reason why it's chashav is because culture darki limanis, as long as there are people that many times when they're selling it, they do it by numbers, because each one is chashav, then it's not going to be batel. But according to the one that learns, and the primary word over here, which is the difference of the other version, is the word S, which means say that it's unique in the sense that it is only sold by number. It's never sold by estimate, just like, oh, a basket full of eggs. It would only go by how many there are. If there's numbers, then it's not going to be batel, because then it's chashav. But what are you going to say then? Because eggs are not like that. Many times people sell it by just estimate and without giving the exact number. So what would be the reason for this halacha that the Bei Treif is not going to be batel even 1,000 eggs? Why? It's not the case of Dabash Yesh L'matirin, and it's also not considered something chashav where it's only given by exact numbers. So why is not batel in 1,000? As the Gemara says, did not, like we learned this Mishnah in Masechtas Arla, which illustrates this machlokes about, is it kol shadarka limon shaninu, or is it es shadarka limon shaninu? Which the Mishnah says as follows. Misha hayloi chavili tilsin. If someone had a bundle of tilsin, which is a type of bean which is used to sweeten a pot, which is called fenugreek, shel kalai hakerem, which was prohibited because it was mixed with the vines in a vineyard, which that's the halacha of kalayim, which is in a kerem, and therefore it's prohibited. So the halacha is yidluku, which is then you have to burn it, as is the halacha with all klayim hakerem. If you have something else that's growing with the vines, they become prohibited because it's a prohibited mixture, as the pasuk says in Devarim Chav Beis, pen tuktash, which the Gemara darshins that to mean tukar esh, which should be burnt in fire because it's prohibited to have an offering. So it has to be burnt. Now in the Sa'ar b'Acheres, if let's say this bundle of fenugreek, which is usher because it's considered klaim, if it gets mixed with other bundles, and then v'achiris b'achiris, and then those other bundles get mixed with other bundles, kulam yidlaku, they all have to be burnt, and they're all usher. They're remeah, there's a pinyin remeah. Chama Ibrim, they argue, they say, yalu ba'achasu mesayim. They know that it could be bottle with a ratio of 200 to 1. That is, let's say this one bundle gets mixed with 200 permitted bundles. Then you take out one bundle and you burn that one bundle. And the rest are going to be permitted because that's the shear of bittel by klaim and by arla, that it's a ratio of 200 to 1. Now, the explanation for this machlok is, why did Rebbe Meir say that they all get burnt even though there's more, going to be a higher ratio than 200 to 1, even let's say 1,000 to 1, and he doesn't hold that bittel will work, although by klaim, bittel works in a ratio of 200 to 1, is because Rebbe Meir would say, and this is where the machlok comes in exactly, what did Rebbe Meir say? Which is, was it eshadarko or kol shadarko? So that Rebbe Meir said, eshadarko limonis, he said, that anything that is the norm for it to be counted, and therefore that means it's something chasher, we don't just do it in estimate, then it's not going to be batel, and hence mikadish, then it's going to be prohibiting everything that it's mixed with. And therefore these bundles of fenugreek, which are counted by number, therefore it's not going to be batel. So even if it's mixed with 1,000 other bundles, they're all going to be aser. The chacham, however, the chacham, they argue and they say that no, every type of pri, any type of fruit, is always going to be batel. And that is because einoy mekadesh elishisha dvarim belvad. There are only six items which are very chashiv, where then we'll give it that halacha of this idea that it's a very chashiv thing, and then it won't be batel in the ratio of 200 to 1. Kivaimer, he says actually shiva. There are seven items that are so chashiv that if they get mixed with even 1,000 things, they're not going to be batel. Veilehin, what are these six, seven items? There are goizi perech, there are perech nuts, v'rimayni baden, there are baden and pomegranates, where Perech and Baden are the names of different locations. V'chav yestumais, and closed barrels of wine. Again, all these things are very chashiv, therefore they're not going to be bottled. V'chilfei trodden, and prickly beets. V'kilchei kruv, and cabbage stalks, where they grow with their leaves, and the cabbages that grew in Eretz Yisrael were very large, like trees, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubas, therefore they were very chashiv. V'talas yavanis, and a Greek gourd. Those are the six items according to the Chachamim. Reb Kiva Amaisev, the seventh item that he adds on is Afki Kershal Balabais. Even the loaves of bread made by homeowners is considered something chashiv and distinct, if it's not going to be bottled even in 1,000 other ones. Now, Haro La'arla, those things which are from the type of things which would have the application of the halacha of arla, for example, if there are things that grow on trees, then arla, then they would make everything that's mixed in with the halachas of arla, again, because they're considered so chashiv, and therefore they're not going to become batel even 1,000. Haro l'kla hakerem, and those things that are fit for the halachas of klaim of a vineyard, for example, chalfei trodden, the kol chikruv, and the loaves of bread, which they're not things that grow on a tree, so it doesn't have application of the halachas of arla. Again, these are the two items of klaim and arla that would generally become batel in 200 to 1, but since they're so chashiv, if it's something that grows on a tree, it will not become batel in 200 to 1, and if something that grows in the ground, that therefore they will have the application of klai karam, so then klai karam, then everything it mixes with, will also become aser with the halacha of klaim, because they're so chashiv, they're not going to be batel. Now, that was the machlokes between Reb Meir, the Chacham, Reb Akiva, regarding what do we say in the case that it was illustrated in, whether regarding Chavila Tilson, is that considered in the halacha of being a davar chashiv that it will not become batel when it's mixed with the other things or not? Now, ve'itmar law, and we learned on that machlokes, specifically in the statement of Reb Meir, regarding these things, let's say like Chavila Tilson, that they're not going to be batel, that there was a machlokes how to interpret Reb Meir's opinion. Rabbi Yechonamar, he says, es shadarki limoni shaninu. His version of Rabbi Meir's statement was that something that only is sold by number, by units, then we're going to say that it's not going to become batel. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakasham, he says, no, kol shadarki limoni shaninu, anything that there are people that consider it chashim, and therefore there are people that sell it by number, then it's also going to be chashim enough that it's not going to become batel when it mixes into something else. And therefore, if it's klaim or arla, it won't be batel. It won't be nullified in 200 to 1 ratio. So therefore, Now the Gemara concludes that question that we started before. So therefore, we could resolve the question that we had according to Reb Shimon Lakish's version of Reb Meir, that you could say that the Tana of the Brisa that said that an egg is not going to be bottle, that was like Reb Meir, because there are many that sell eggs by numbers, and therefore it's not going to be bottle. And that makes sense that we could resolve Reb Yitzchak and Reb Yosef that we're talking about it's an egg of a treifa, non-kosher egg. So then we asked, so why isn't it bottle? It's not considered something that yesh lematirin. So we're saying, no, because it's still considered davar chashuv. As we said, Reish Lakish learns, it's enough to be something that kosher darakilim on this if there are people, and there are people who sell eggs by unit. But this is where the Gemara concludes the question. But according to Rabbi Yechina, what are you going to say? Why would it be, according to the interpretation of Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef, that's talking about a beya treifa, a non-kosher egg, why wouldn't it be bottle in a thousand? Again, it's not a, something that has matirin, like Rabbi would say that it's talking about a beya shenol debiyamtiv, because they're saying it's talking about the case of a beya treifa, and it's also not considered something that's chashiv, because according to Rabbi Yechina's version of Meir, it has to be something that's only sold by number, which is not the case with eggs. So Amar Papa, Papa says in resolution of this question, he says, Hai Tana, the Tana of that Brisa that we quoted is not Reb Meir, and therefore it's not a question on Reb Yechanan, because at least according to Reb Yechanan, that wouldn't resolve the question. Rather, Tana Delitra Katsiyasu. It's the Tana of the following halacha, which is called the Litra, which is a certain type of measurement, of Katsiyas. Dama that he says, as the Gemara will quote this, Kol Davar Shabiminyan. Anything that's sold by at times with by numbers, then a fila bidrabanan, then even by an isidrabanan, that will say, for example, which that's the case of the litra katsiyas, where it's talking about the chuma of paris that are only midrabanan, that even over there lay batal, that it's not going to be batal, as the Gemara will shortly explain. And therefore, the kolshkin most definitely, regarding the case that we're talking about in that braisa, of a beya trefa, of a non kosher egg, bidraisa, that for sure, there where it's biblical, that it's not going to be butl, and therefore that is the Tana of the Brisa. You write according to Rabbi Yochanan, it can't be Reb Meir. So how do we understand Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yosef's interpretation of that Brisa regarding a beya treifa, it's not butl in a thousand? It's talking about this Tana. It's not, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, which actually, what the Gemara is quoting is a Brisa that elaborates on that Mishnah Masechtas Trumas, that says as follows. Litra Katsiyas. A litra of katsiyas, which that's a reference to figs which were dried in the fields. Now, the reason why it's called katsiyas is because they would be mikatsaya, they would cut it with this tool called miktsaya, which was the name of a utensil which was used to cut the actually ukze, which also related to the end parts, the stems of the figs. Then related to this process, afterwards they would then squeeze together, would press these dried figs into a round tool, a round vessel, which would then attach them together. Then they would become like a cake of cheese, as cheese is pressed, which in the times of the Gemara, this was popularized, it was called iguli devela, the round cakes of figs. Now, when they come to sell it, then they would separate the pieces with a magrefa, which was a type of a sharp cutting utensil, and then they would sell it in the weight of a litra, and that's why it's called this case of litra katsiyas. So now, regarding this case of the litra of katsiyas, of these dried figs, Shadirasa al pi eagle, which as we just explained, that they would press it together. Now, this of the katsiyas, it was pressed on the opening of this vessel, which is called an eagle, which again was called that because it was in the shape of a round metric figure. So therefore, it's called the eagle. So they pressed it on the opening of the eagle. Now, ve'en yedea be'iza eagle drasa. Now, they don't know by which eagle was it that it was pressed in. However, they do know that it was by the opening of that kli, but it wasn't inside, but they don't know which one it was. Or another case, al pi chavis, they know it was by the opening of a barrel that it was pressed in, but any day beiza chavis starts, but they do not know in which barrel it was squeezed in. Or another similar case, al pi kaveris, it was put into the opening of a basket, any day beiza kaveris starts, it's not known in which basket it was squeezed in. So now we have this case of an item that's forbidden. But the only thing is, we know where it was. We know it was by the opening of either a kaveris of a basket, or the opening of a barrel, or the opening of this eagle where we pressed it in. But we don't know which one it was, which basket it was, which chavis it was, or which eagle it was. So now, related to that, there's a machlekes in a machlekes, as the Brisa explains. Remeyo Emre, he says that this is how Reb Elezer and Reb Yeshua argued regarding this case. And that is, Reb Elezer, he says that even though the bottom part of this litra was not included in the doubt of the dimua of this admixture of this truma figs which were mixed in. Still, he holds we're going to combine the lower parts to the mouth parts, which is, we know, whichever one it was, whether it be the chavis or the eagle, that's where the truma dried figs were sticked in there. It's going to all mix together. And that is, as we continue on top of Dalam and Alf, Omer, he says that if you don't have 100 different mouths of permitted ones, let's say you don't have 100 different barrels or igulin to go ahead and say that it'll be mutter because you have a ratio of 100 to 1 because you don't know which opening of which barrel it wasn't. But you have 100 barrels, so then for sure you would understand that you would say that, look, either way, it's going to be 100 to 1 and therefore it's going to be bottled, you don't have that. Still, Rebbe Elazar says, even if you don't have, what you'll do is you'll visualize the upper parts of this barrel, in other words, the part of the litra that's by the mouth, as if they're separated from the opening of the mouth of that barrel or from that eagle, and as if it's mixed with the bottom part of that barrel. Hence, it's as if we view the entire mixture as one big dimu, as one big mixture, and therefore they will all combine. And hence he says, v'atachtoinis ma'alas zayinis, therefore the lower parts actually will help in working in being mevatel the upper part that's by the opening. Now, the reason for this is because although it's not, we really know it's on the upper part, therefore how can you say that it's as if it's mixed together and therefore it's bottle? It's only when it's mixed together, but here it's distinct in that's the bottom, just the top. The reason is because since the truma that has to be taken off from peiros, not if it's not grain or if it's not from the things that are midirais, it's only rabbinic, so therefore they were lenient in regarding the halachas of bittul that apply to it. Therefore we'll say that it will be bottle, we will actually include the entire barrel in the process of being vatlet. Rabbi Yeshua Eimer, he's more machmer. He says, "Im yesha meyapumen, if there are 100 different mouths, different openings of all different barrels of permitted, besides this one of Isser, then yalu. Then we'll say that it will be batal in the ratio of 100 to 1. Vimla, but if it's not like the case Rabbi Lezer was speaking about, then it's not true. Then hapumen asurin, then the openings will be prohibited because you have mixed in there some with the truma, because the bottom ones will not help in working being mevatel the top parts because they're not included in this doubt of the mixture. But vashulayim matarim, but the bottom parts will be permitted because they're considered distinct from the top parts." That was one version in their machlekes. Rabbi Huda, maybe this is a different version. He says, no, that's not the machlekes Rabbi Lezer and Yeshua. Rather, they argue more stringent than Rimei's version. He says, Rabbi Lezer Omer, he really takes Rabbi Yeshua's stance. Rabbi Lezer says, "Im yesha meyapumen yalu." If there are 100 other openings of barrels, that therefore we have one barrel here that's by the opening trumas, and we have 100 ratio to that, then it could be mevatlet. Vimlav, if not, you don't have. You only have its barrel itself. Then the mouth will be forbidden. Vashalai mutarin, and the bottoms will be permitted, which was Rabbi Yeshua's version, the more stringent version, and Rabbi Meir's version. Rabbi Yeshua says now in Rabbi Yehuda's version, even if you have 300 other mouths, which are all included in the dot, because any barrel, we don't know which barrel it was. We said we knew it was by the top, we don't know which one it is, so therefore we have 300 that are permitted towards a ratio of one that's forbidden, still loyalu. Still it will not help to be mevatel that one barrel, and the reason is because since the mouths of a vessel are things that are davashish by minyanhu, they're things that are working with numbers, therefore, it's not going to be bottle even by rabbinic. We're here at the most, it's only true midrabanan. Still, it's not going to be bottle. Even if you have 300 other barrels, because each one is distinct. Therefore, you cannot have a bittle, because it's considered chashir, because it's something that has numerics. It works by units. And therefore, loyalu, it won't become bottle. However, darsa be eagle, however, if it was pressed into one of those round vessels that make it into these cakes of dried figs, and you don't know in which round kli it was pressed into, then divri hakol yalo, then everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yeshua, that then it's going to be permitted. Now, that the Gemara quickly asks, divri hakol, everyone would agree in that case. What do you mean, hainu plikta? This is exactly what they argue about. This is the case when it's pressed in, you don't know where it is that we say that it's not going to be batel, because Rabbi Yeshua just says there's a double that sheyesh leminyan, or because it's considered separate, the top and the bottom. So now the Gemara answers, Amar Papa. Papa says, Ahachikama. What Rabbi Yehuda was saying, that everyone would agree in that case, is that drasa be'igol, if it was pressed into one of these round vessels, where now it's not recognizable because now it's attached to the rest. And now when it's not recognizable anymore and you don't know which part of it was it pressed into, you don't know if it was pressed into the northern part of this round utensil or to the southern part. Now, since it's no more a davar sheshli minyan, it's not something anymore that has separate units because you don't know where it is. It's not recognizable. Therefore, there divrei hakol yalo. There is where we said that Rabbi Yeshua said that Rabbi Yehuda said that everyone would agree, even according to Rabbi Yeshua, because it's not recognizable, so it's not a davar sheshli minyan, and therefore it's going to be batal. Now, however, this ties back in to what we said before. We want to know who's going to be the Tana of that Braisa to be able to understand Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation. Why would a Beya Trefa not be bottom in 1,000? We said that's not something Sheyesh Lematirin, because it's not never going to be permitted if it's us, if it's a Beya Trefa. And we also wanted to know who's going to be the one that says that it's going to be considered Chashim, that it won't be bottle. And that we're saying it is Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Yeshua, that he says that anything that has a minyan, which we're talking about here, even by Truma D'Rabbanan, and we're saying that these mouths of the barrels, even if there's 300 permitted ones, to the one that's forbidden, we said that it won't be batal, because since there are, it is a davar sheyesh lo minyan, even by rabbinic, it's not going to be batal, and therefore that's how we resolve Rabbi Yitzchak and Rabbi Yehuda's interpretation in that braisa. Although Rabbi interprets it that it's talking about the case of the egg, because it's a suffix that was born on Yom Tov, because that's a suffix deraisa, but they were talking about a case derabanan, so why would the suffix be usser? So we said that's talking about a trefa, but then we wanted to know, so then why wouldn't it be batal in 1,000? And the reason is because although it's talking about a trefa egg, it won't be batal in 1,000, because we're going like that Tana again, who that Tana is, Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Yeshua, who he says that anything called of a, that has that yesh lei minyan, even though there it's only rabbinic, it's not going to be batal, and therefore that works for the case of the egg, where you have a tray for egg, that's something that at times it is sold by units, and therefore for sure there where it's deraisa diga isra of treifa, that it will not be batal even 1,000 other eggs.